This is Tuesday, September 27th, 2016, and you'll find out why Ray Walkinshaw has produced over 100 episodes of his Hearthstone show in just 9 months. This is episode 209.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, aggro shamans and Yogg druids, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, thank you as always for listening, and let's once again talk a little bit about Legion, because that seems to be the trend for me lately at the top of the show. It's practically what I'm only playing right now. And as much as I wish that weren't the case, it's just Legion, 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 more Legion. I have my Warlock up to 110, I will have a Resto Shaman at 110, probably by the time you're listening to this episode. I can't wait to get my Resto Shaman to 110 because one of my favorite activities at max level has been this scenario in Suramar known as Withered Army Training. Now, if you don't want to hear about Withered Army Training, if you're leveling up another character, or if you're leveling up your first character, and you haven't been to this yet, you don't want spoilers, skip ahead several minutes. It's not plot intensive, but if you don't want spoilers about the game mechanics and stuff, and you want to discover this all for yourself, I totally get that. Skip ahead. I really like Withered Army Training. I like it more than the Troves of the Thunder King scenario in back in Mists of Pandaria. And the thing is, when this first came out, I thought that this was going to be, you know, very similar. And then I realized it's a much different beast. This scenario has very little to do with personal DPS, and a lot more to do with tactics and choices that you make, and just pacing and everything. Now, I know that this scenario is not all roses for some of you. I asked on Twitter, you know, how many of you have tried Withered Army Training, and what do you like or dislike about it? A number of you have criticisms about the scenario, or elements about it that frustrate you, and what I thought I'd do today is talk a little bit about some of the points you guys have said, and perhaps give you some advice on what you could do to overcome your troubles in Withered Army Training. Now, I've heard from many of you that this scenario favors tanks, it's terrible for healers, and many of you are talking about how your army gets decimated early on. You go in with, you know, 13 Withered, and the next thing you know, you're down to 4 or 5 after just the first room. Now, it's almost like a raid, really, except you are the raid leader, and all these NPCs are your raid, and as you obtain items in this scenario, your, you know, NPC raid team is going to get stronger, and they're going to become capable of lasting longer in much more difficult fights. Now, furthering the whole raid analogy along, there is one thing that you can do that is going to make this scenario much, much easier, and that is to go into it as prepared as possible. Just like raiding, when you go into the Emerald Nightmare raid, you know, you'll have your raid leader say, make sure you bring flasks and food and all that stuff. Well, you can be prepared for the Withered Army Training scenario too. It doesn't mean bringing on flasks and food, however, personal preparation isn't as big a deal, but you want to have your army as prepared as possible. What that means is raising your ancient mana cap to 2,000 and starting the scenario with that full 2,000 mana. You want to do this because if you do, that means you're going to start out with 20 Withered, and the DPS that they put out at the start is enough to easily deal with a lot of the things you're going to find in the first few rooms. Now, some of you have asked, how do you actually raise your cap to 2,000? And that's mainly done by questing. However, that'll just get you up to 1,500. There are 5 different items throughout Suramar that each raise your cap by 100. And there are, you know, a number of guides that can help you out with this, whether you use Wowhead or, you know, content creators like Elvine or Heels vs. Babyface. They both have YouTube videos on all that. But getting your ancient mana cap to 2,000 should be your first priority. Do those Suramar quests, get those 5 items. Once you have the cap, then there's the matter of actually grinding out to get 2,000 ancient mana, which I know it is another gripe from some of you, getting 10 mana, 20 mana at a time. It's just trying to get 2,000 mana seems like it can take forever. Well, from my experience, the best way to get to 2,000 as quickly as possible is to run around the Twilight Vineyards and clicking on Lay Petal Blossoms, Arc Wine, and all these other items that give you a ton of ancient mana. The Vineyards are really unmatched when it comes to these kind of items. And with a lot of people already aware of this and going to the Vineyards and clicking on these items, that also means that they are respawning with some frequency. Now, you will get access to the Vineyards during your questing. If you haven't been there yet, like I said, just keep on questing, you'll eventually get there, and you'll also have access to a portal that will take you right there for future runs. Now, as for the scenario itself, tips for that. First of all, take your time. You don't need to go into it too hastily. In fact, if you rush into a room or a hallway and see two or three things and think, oh, you're going to fight all two or three at once, that could get you into trouble very easily, especially when your army is still lacking a lot of those treasure chest buffs. Speaking of treasure chests, there are chests in that scenario that require five of your Withered in order to take the chest up and get it out, and there are larger ones which require 10 Withered. When it comes to going after these treasure chests, you want to put more emphasis on the treasure chests that actually only take 5 Withered. And the big reason behind that is those treasure chests contain items which will more often than not buff your entire raid team, your entire group of Withered, while the chests with the large chests that require 10 Withered to take up are going to provide epic items which will upgrade a single one of your Withered, which is great, and you know, it gives them awesome abilities, but you're going to get more bang for your buck out of those 5 Withered treasure chests, the ones that are just regular size. Another thing I'd say about these chests, when you find one, don't necessarily send your Withered up with the chest right away. Check out what's further ahead. Ask yourself if you can use the extra DPS from those 5 to 10 Withered to clear more of the scenario and get more points and get a higher score, and if you feel that they can survive it and do that, send them on that, get those points easy, and then send them back and get the chest up, because you won't benefit from the chest until your future runs, not the current run. The next thing I want to talk about is the spider room. And I'm referring to the very first room, this big pit down at the bottom. I have seen a lot of you talking about how your Withered will get stuck down there, they will aggro some spiders, the spiders will come attack, and it's just a mess and chaos. Now, my best way for handling that is to hug the walls. I find that if I hug the walls, my Withered don't tend to wander off and go down and grab those spiders. And as for actually clearing out that area, I've only cleared that area once, because I believe there was like one or two treasure chests that you want to get out of there. And yeah, it's a pain in the hassle, there's a lot of stuff to fight down there, a lot of tiny spiders and such, and that will chew away at your army's health. But once you've done that one time, and you got those two chests out, you never really need to go down there again, honestly. The next biggest complaint from a lot of you is about Drow. Drow is this one boss which is lurking in the shadows, and he's horrible, and he'll make you feel horrible. As of this week, they're actually changing him a bit in regards to where he spawns. It's not supposed to be as random, but it can and still will surprise you. Obviously, stuns help, being a tank helps, but if you're not a tank, it's not the end of the world. It's just a matter of having your group go berserk and just doing as much as you can. If you find that he attacks while there's other stuff attacking you as well, try to do something to CC that other stuff. Putting your focus on Drow should be the number one thing to do. And taking him down is going to get easier over time if you follow my advice on treasure chests and stuff. Drow is kind of this measuring bar. Really, if you can take down Drow, you can take down the entire scenario, even though there's still bosses to fight after Drow's done with. If you have a means to scout ahead, like if you're a shaman with Farsight, I believe hunters have access to scouting tools as well, warlocks have the Eye of Kilrog. If you have some kind of scouting tool, use it, because sometimes it's not worth clearing the whole instance, especially after you've gotten those big chests, because they're a one and done thing. Once you get that big chest, it's not going to appear the next time you run the dungeon. It may be worth doing an area if you feel like you're going to be able to recruit two or three more Wither to your army without losing two or three. So if you think there's a net gain from doing a certain room of the scenario, then do it. But scouting is going to help you a lot. One thing a lot of you might not realize is that there is, at least in the default UI, because I use mostly default UI, there's a buff icon in the top right that's going to show a number up there. And that actually tells you how many Wither you have and their average health. That doesn't necessarily mean that all of them are at that health. It's just an average health and it tells you how many you have. And that's something that a lot of people will often overlook and not realize just how healthy or how weak their army is before going into a boss fight or a room that might be a little too difficult to handle. Overall, you know, this scenario is fun. It gets more fun as your buffs continue, as you get those treasure chests and you improve how the Withered are. I think that this scenario is designed just magnificently. I think it's awesome. It's in many ways an improvement over Troves of the Thunder King. It does present challenges to certain specs. I will completely admit that. I do feel like healing specs should have the ability to heal their army. Healers should be able to do what they do. Healers should be able to heal. Even if there was like some sort of restriction or handicap on it that doesn't make it too effective, maybe weaker mana regeneration out of combat or something, making those heals not an infinite supply of things, because it'd be kind of broken if you could just heal your army to full after every single pull, considering there's no time limit on the event. But it can still be beaten as a healer. I've seen it done. My next challenge with Withered Army training, now that I've cleared it on my Warlock, is to beat it as a Resto Shaman, and I'm going to do it. That's basically it. I hope you guys found something useful out of that information. If you have more questions about it, feel free to email me or, you know, contact me on Twitter, and I'll be happy to help you out. Those are my thoughts on WoW this week. A whole lot of Withered Army training talk. There's a lot more happening in and around the Blizzard Universe of Games. Okay, let's be honest here. I usually say that, but frankly, there's a whole lot of WoW stuff going on and a little something else. So let's go around the world of Warcraft and not much more in 80 seconds. Things are about to get serious in the Emerald Nightmare as Mythic difficulty becomes available for anyone ready to take on the challenge. For those looking for something quite a bit less serious, the first wing of Emerald Nightmare encounters is now available on Raidfinder difficulty. Going forward, Blizzard Entertainment has stated that it plans to disassociate itself from the use of the Battle.net name for their gaming service and the functionality connected to it. Just a week after Chris Metzen's retirement, it was revealed that James Waugh and Tyson Murphy are also leaving the company. Waugh was the senior director for story and creative development, while Murphy was the lead character artist on World of Warcraft. Don't forget you have a little over a week left to participate in Brewfest in World of Warcraft. The event ends on October 6th. This week's maintenance for WoW also comes with a large number of class tuning hotfixes, and on behalf of Destruction Warlocks everywhere, thank you Blizz for dialing it to 11. And finally, some news that isn't tied to WoW. This week marks the introduction of Zarya to Heroes of the Storm, as well as the addition of the Warhead Junction Battlefield. In addition to that news, early plans for the 2017 season of the Heroes Global Circuit of Esports has been announced. North America, Europe, China, and Korea will be shifting to a uniform online league format, with the top 8 teams becoming contracted and receiving compensation. For more information on these plans, go to heroesofthestorm.com/esports. And that's your news, which brings us to our podcast clip of the week. And there's already been some discussion on the changes coming to Heroes of the Storm esports on some podcasts. So right now, I'm going to let you listen to a few minutes from the latest episode of Into the Nexus with Garrett Weinzierl and Kyle Ferguson. You can find them on your pod app of choice or at amove.tv. My interview with Ray Walkinshaw is coming up after this.
So paychecks for the top 8 teams in 4 separate regions.
I like it.
Yeah, I can dig that. And the other thing is, to my understanding, that this can absolutely be contested during the course of a year, that if you no longer in the top 8, you lose said contract and said compensation.
Yeah, they're working in an amateur system called the Blizzard-sponsored Open Division, where those quote-unquote struggling teams will have to compete to hold on to their, paychecks. as it were. And regular ones, too. This is really cool. This gives a lot of competition to hold those top eight spots.
Yes, that's there are. I can't think of anything that would motivate me more, Kyle.
So right now,
A, become the best, and B, stay the best.
Yes, and receive regular money that allows you to have the comfort you need to actually apply yourself this hard in a video game. In all honesty, you know, that's the toughest part for pro players is finding that next paycheck. And when there's not a lot of tiny tournaments, and when you get into team games, of course, tiny tournaments just simply can't exist regularly. They're too expensive to produce. The prize pools have to be too large. So something like this could be exactly what you need to have the changeover of hands, make sure that this is continually the best players that they can be, and not just those who had the time, right? Or received the sponsorship from a company and can then apply themselves. People will be gunning for these eight spots.
Yeah. And that is interesting, and that is all well and good, but it's not the only thing big that is worthy of noting. It's also worth noting that as part of the championship program, we're getting more international events where we're going to see teams from different regions go up against each other more than in just the big final tournament. They said that on their journey to the HGC finals, teams playing at the highest level will have opportunities to compete at three international events, including a global tournament.
It's nice to not have BlizzCon be the first time some of these teams meet.
That's extremely nice. Storyline is so important for esports and any competition. And this, I think, absolutely is going to help the story that is told. It's going to help the narrative so much.
I agree.
For most of you, checking on the most recent episode of your favorite podcast is something you probably do once a week or maybe every other week. Almost all podcasts covering Hearthstone or any Blizzard game really come out once every week or two. But that's not the case for Walk to Work, the Tales of Ray Walkinshaw, a card game enthusiast that has to date produced well over 100 episodes of his show within the first 9 months of its run. And I can't really say any more than that. Without further ado, welcome to Rail Maintenance, Ray. How are you?
I'm good, Ro. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to talk to you. I've been wanting to talk to you for quite a while. In the past, there was one other WoW podcaster who had attempted to do a gold-making podcast on a daily basis. He's still podcasting here and there, but nowhere near with that kind of frequency. It's rare to find someone who has such enjoyment and passion about any of these games from Blizzard that they want to talk about it basically every other day. I'd like to start off just by wondering, what exactly is it about Hearthstone that inspired you to start doing Walk to Work?
I was going to say, that's a very long and complicated question. The reason I do it three times a week is because when I started doing it, I thought I better do a couple of recordings. For anyone who hasn't listened to the gimmick is me walking to work, playing a game of Hearthstone and recording it. And of course, dodging traffic and things like that in the way, and weather can be a bit of an impediment. So I thought the first week I'll record a few episodes so that I've got one that I can release.
And take the best out of the three.
Yeah, and I released all three. And then the next week I released all three. I said, well, I've established a pattern now. So I try to record three times a week. Well, I say try to record. I have recorded at least three times a week every week since, was it like February this year?
Mm-hmm.
And because my walk isn't that long, it takes me about 20 minutes to get to the train station. Each episode's kind of short. So I figure three episodes at around 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes each, that makes about a full podcast a week worth anyway. It's just spread out a little more bite-sized for everyone.
Exactly. And that can actually do rather well for someone who's just, you know, doing a short commute to work as you are. Or maybe they're playing, you know, their one game or two of Hearthstone for the day and they want to have something in the background to listen to while doing their daily quests and such. It's a really unique format and it definitely works for you. Just out of curiosity, a couple questions I've had about this. First of all, what are you using to record exactly? I mean, obviously you're using your cell phone, but the sound quality for like your own voice is pretty impressive, even with the background noise and the cards and stuff aside. I was just wondering, how do you get yourself to sound that well on a cell phone?
Well, I have a quite an extensive studio setup that travels with me. There's about four or five people who carry it. That's not true. I just use my phone. I have an app on the phone. I use an iPhone, and I know that mm-hmm. you're not a fan of those. And there is a default voice memo app on there that I did use. But then I found I had an app on there that I had bought a few years ago for recording a meeting I was in, and it was just called Recorder or something. So I tried that, and it's pretty much exactly the same. It's the default iPhone headphones plugged into the phone, and me talking into them.
And just using the basic iPhone microphone, huh?
Yeah, on the headphones. Well, there is a slight modification. Listeners early on noticed that I was experiencing a little bit of wind noise. In spring and in autumn, or sorry, fall for you guys, in Sydney, it can get a little bit windy, and sure. I was picking up a lot of wind noise. So I was experimenting with ways of baffling the noise. So I have a small patch of dishcloth, sort of foam, wrapped around the microphone on the headset that I used to record. So it doesn't look too out of place, but I do imagine some people look at me and go, why has he got a bit of dishcloth on his headphones?
Well, and on top of that, I imagine that as you're doing your walk to work, although it's become such a frequent occurrence now that no one probably thinks any less of it, so, oh, it's that guy again doing his podcast. But I have to imagine you must have had some interesting moments when you walk by and people are wondering, why is he talking to himself on the phone?
Well, I was worried about that at first, but I think people appearing to talk to themselves on the phone is pretty commonplace. So I imagine most people who walk past me and hear me think that I'm just talking to someone else, as opposed to hundreds of people, technically. So it doesn't seem out of place. I was a little self-conscious at first. As a New Zealander living in Australia, New Zealanders generally are very self-conscious as it is. I was, oh, God, what are people going to look at me funny? And I just thought, embrace it. What's the worst that can happen? just talk to yourself loudly on train platforms and nobody will look at you funny. It'll be fine. I don't think anyone thinks that I'm actually recording unless they're standing next to me when they hear me sign off. And they're like, that sounds like an odd way to end a phone call.
And that sounds a little too scripted and such. What the heck's going on?
When I try and think about it, is what, like, part of my sign-off involves saying what my battle tag is so people can add me in game and things. And if I think about what my battle tag is, I'm like, is it? But I know that if I just rattle it off at the end of the episode every time without trouble.
Yeah, I can almost do my outro to the show verbatim from memory without looking at a Google Doc, almost. Now, just as far as the show goes, like I said, you play Game of Hearthstone on most of your episodes, but you also talk about the news and such. As far as your Hearthstone experience in podcasting and talking about it, what would you say are the topics you intend to bring up the most on your show?
I try to cover quite a few topics because I understand that the audience is quite varied as to what they want. I consider myself quite a competitive player, and even though by competitive player standards these days I'm not, because I have a family and I don't have a lot of time to play, hence playing a game like Hearthstone,
sure.
I consider myself a very competitive player. So a lot of what I want to do in the game is to climb the ladder and try and make it to Legend each month. But I understand that not everyone does that. Not everyone can do that. That's not even what everyone's interested in.
So that's a huge time investment.
It is. I've made Legend twice, and I'm trying again this month. And the bottleneck is always a time investment. I know I can make it because I've done it, and it really is just a numbers game as far as the amount you play. So the trick is just, can I devote enough time while staying calm? Because you can get frustrated with losses and play badly, and you know that's another issue on top. So it is a lot of time, and I can't always devote that much time. And I understand that my listeners are much the same. So I do try to talk not just to the kind of person I am, but also the kind of people that I've met as well. Like there's at least one guy at my work I know who plays Hearthstone, and he, I believe, makes it to rank 20 each month sometimes. But he thinks it's neat that I record a thing and he listens. If you speak to a competitive Hearthstone player, they will tell you how the game is, and they'll tell you what the players are like and what they all want to do. But when you meet a few casual players, you understand that it's much more varied than that. So I try to at least come across as approachable for players who aren't as competitive as the vocal minority out on the internet actually are.
Sure. Like a good example of that would be you had an episode somewhat recently which stressed the importance of why Tavern Brawl can be such a great tool to making gold in Hearthstone, which can be very helpful for especially those casual players that don't want to spend any money on the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I started playing, I was what we call free to play. When the game was in beta, I signed up and I didn't play it very much, but I knew that as soon as it was in beta, I think they announced that, you know, what they were working on straight away was a game that was going to be playable on a mobile platform. And at that point, I had a toddler, I guess she was, and I knew that a mobile game was what I was going to want. So I signed up and I didn't play it much, but I knew that I was going to once it came out on an iPad. And then once it came out on an iPad, I did start playing and I was free to play. So I was very conscious about the idea of playing Arena to try and get more cards, what I could do to maximize my gold creation and so on. And then after a while, I realized I was enjoying it so much that I now will pay for whatever the release bundle for each set is. And I don't want to spend any more than that, so it's still a little bit of a challenge because, for me, sometimes the challenge is, can I get enough gold to get some more packs to get the cards I want? So I spend a little bit of money each time a set comes out, but I try to keep it down to that, and then try to be conscious of how I'm spending my gold and how I'm spending my dust on creating cards and things like that, because I understand that a lot of players don't want to spend money. And because sometimes that's the challenge, other times it's a financial constraint. You know, it's important to understand that not everyone just wants to sink all of their pocket money into the game.
Yeah, you sound very much like me as far as your habits go. When a big expansion comes out, I tend to do that. You know, initial bundle deal of like 50 packs for the cost of 40 or something like that. Sometimes it's the card back that draws me in. Other times it's just the deal on the packs. And I almost always try to buy adventures with gold, not really caring too much about the card pack for those. But yeah, I guess I would say that if you're trying to place your podcast on kind of a spectrum of casual to hardcore, you kind of have a little bit of everything and average somewhere in between.
That's the idea. Like, part of me would want to devote all my time to hardcore because that's where my interest lies.
Sure.
But I understand it's not everyone, and you know, you would diversify your market. I mean, part of the reason I started with a shorter podcast, other than the fact that it was a short commute, was the whole self-confidence thing is how can I fit into an already saturated market of podcasts? A short podcast is easy for someone to pick up. If I was releasing something that was 90 minutes to 2 hours every week, they'd be like, it's cool, but I don't have time for that. Whereas I figured if I released a short episode, they were like, well, I can just squeeze that in. You know, you get to the end of your workday and you've listened to a lot of the podcasts. You go, I've only got half an hour left. I don't want to start another big one. I could just listen to that quick one that I have in my feed as well. So I thought I could fit into people's podcast routines that way by doing a small podcast. Mm-hmm. I felt like part of my approach is going to be engender myself to a wide enough audience that everyone's going to enjoy it. And this is going to be quite an aside. The reason I do this is I've always enjoyed being a content creator in the area that I play. So a lot of people who have played Hearthstone have heard of earlier card games that sort of fit into it. And the one that took up a lot of my life was Magic the Gathering. I've played that since, I guess, the dawn of time. I don't quite remember when it started or when I started.
So we're gonna get a little nerdy here with Magic the Gathering. I started around Revised Edition. When did you start?
I believe that is when I opened my first pack. That was when Magic first made it to New Zealand.
The days of Shivan Dragons and Mahamoti Jinns dancing in our heads.
Shivan Dragon was the first rare that I opened. So little brother and his friend said, you should play this game. And I'm not going to do my best New Zealand accent because I don't think I quite have one anymore. You should play this game. Buy this starter pack. And I opened it up and I pulled out the Shivan Dragon because it looked impressive. I said, is this a good card? And you could see the look on both their faces like, ah, he got the good one. And you know, in retrospect, that is not actually the good card. But at the time, it felt great. And I played it for a while. It revised. I discovered that you could make a deck that was just mountains and lightning bolts. And if you've played Magic, you know what that is. And I was like, yes, that's no fun. And I drifted away from the game. I came back around Mirage, which I think it was about 1997-ish.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago. Because
since then. I mean, I played Magic the Gathering, all the way up through Mirage into Weatherlight. Then you had like Urza's Saga, Legacy, Destiny. Man, we're going off on such a tangent. But
yeah,
Magic the Gathering, it really, Hearthstone has a lot to that owes to Magic the Gathering. I mean, a whole lot of card games too, because Magic the Gathering is the grandfather of them all. But yeah, man, that's I can definitely geek out on that stuff. You were talking about your first pack. My very first pack, kid you not, contained a channel and a fireball. And it was just degenerate from there.
Yeah. So anyway, around this time, I discover Magic, and I'm enjoying Magic. Also, I discover the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And on the internet, there's a lot of people sharing information about Magic, which, you know, that helps the engagement in a game. People sharing information, their stories, their ideas, their strategies.
Yeah.
I was really into it. And I thought, I kind of want to get engaged in that. And through high school, I didn't study writing or anything like that or science. I was all into art and graphic design. But with the advent of Magic and writing about Magic on the internet, I was suddenly interested in writing. So I started writing about Magic as well and garnered a bit of a following. So for a long time, I built a following writing about Magic, and I wasn't overly serious about it because, as I said, I had no writing training. I was a little self-conscious about that. Self-conscious is just a thread that you'll find with me. So
a lot of internet content creators, I would say, really.
Oh, I'd say so, yeah. So knowing that I, A, wasn't the best player, B, wasn't the best writer, I figured the only way I could engender myself to people was to be funny, which is what I tried to do, and be entertaining, and that apparently worked. So for a long time, I was a content creator in Magic, and that dwindled off for a while, but it led into me working as a contractor for the company that makes Magic the Gathering, doing written event coverage for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's led its way through. But of course, we are now in an age where written content is sort of falling by the way, and people are streaming. So if I was 10 years younger right now, I would probably be a very regular streamer. But considering my evenings are taken up making sure that a three-year-old goes to sleep, I can't really do that anymore. So that same desire to continue sharing and creating content about a game that I enjoyed is what led me to wanting to try a podcast. It's funny, when I started writing for Magic, I didn't imagine that it would lead me to writing for Magic on an official sense, but I really enjoyed that transition. And so when I started playing Hearthstone and really enjoying Hearthstone, I was like, man, I think I would quite enjoy casting Hearthstone for Blizzard, you know? I was like, but how do you get into that? I said, well, you got to start, you got to practice, because I don't think I'm actually up to snuff for casting at this point. So I thought I could do a podcast that will practice me speaking about Hearthstone as I play. And I mean, if you listen to the podcast, it's not quite caster standard because I am walking the whole time
sure.
and running between cars. But I figure that's, you know, hard mode practice.
Yeah.
So I thought if I keep doing that, I'm going to get better at it. Maybe one day I can transition into casting for Hearthstone. But that's a long way down the road. And that led me to wanting to create content for it again and enjoying being part of a community, sharing the content that I create as I go. I didn't expect it, but I'm back in it.
You know, it's funny because you talk about the whole, you know, play-by-play of your games as you're walking. And there is this part of me that, like, I can see a good part of the game in my head as you're talking it through, and you do a great job at pretty much explaining the situation. And I keep on feeling this kind of attraction and pull to want to see video accompanying this as well on like a YouTube or stuff. I've seen people once Pokemon Go was released, there were a whole bunch of YouTube videos of people like, I guess using their footage from their iPhone of Pokemon Go, capturing Pokemon stuff. I'm like, oh, why don't we see more of that from people with Hearthstone on their iPhone just recording their casual games? I think that'd be pretty cool.
So that's actually really interesting, because part of the reason I wanted to do this was if you talk to any hardcore computer gamer, and I've been one of those, like mm-hmm. I can't deny it, we think that the soul and the heart of gaming is at a computer, and I've done that for years. Mm. But I understand when you look at the gaming industry as a whole that it's going mobile. A lot more people play on their phones or on tablets than do play on computers. And you know, us hardcore gamers, we know that it's about a computer, but if you extend long enough, I think desktop computers will eventually be a thing of the past. And therefore, streaming entertainment will probably start going mobile as well.
Right.
And that was part of my thinking of starting the podcast. I thought, you know what? I'm going to have my foot in the door early by being someone who is creating this content, not in a professional studio set up in their house with baffling and a green screen behind them or something, but while I'm walking out and about in the real world. And things like Periscope and stuff like that are already sort of teasing into that market a little, but nobody's doing it in gaming. So I kind of thought, look, I'm not streaming it live yet. Like, my phone data is just a bit too expensive for that as it is. And also the setup would be a bit. So I talked about the dishcloth on my headphones.
Yeah.
I have also considered what it would look like to have like a GoPro camera mounted on my forehead, something. If I thought I looked silly now, it could potentially get worse. But the idea was, I thought, I'll just get into this area now so that as these things pick up, as the technology becomes better, the data becomes cheaper, and we're able to actually start streaming, I'm already going in that area, and I can start having live chat as I'm recording. I stream video of, you know, see myself in the small picture, and I'm dodging traffic, and there are people in the background while I'm still playing. We don't have that yet. So I thought that's going to be in the long run. And then, as you say, Pokemon Go came out and people started experimenting with it straight away. And their setups are quite extensive. When
right.
I joke about traveling with a studio, as I go, some of these people actually do that. They'll have someone else with a camera. They'll have someone else
practically
back
carrying
house.
A laptop with them as they go. Yeah,
exactly. And because you can't just stream from your phone to any of the streaming services yet, you have to stream back to your laptop, which then also conveys it to Twitch or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So that setup involves multiple people, and I don't have that yet. I mean, I have a wife, but she also works, and I have a three-year-old, and she's just not reliable around a laptop. So I can't do that yet. But the idea is that one day we will all be able to do that, and I kind of just wanted to be ahead of that curve. But mostly I just wanted to be creating and sharing. But, you know, you just have that sense where you're like, I feel like I'm onto something here. And either I will be at the front of this, and one day it'll be a great big global empire of mobile streaming, and I'll be this mogul at the top, or I'll just be a guy who had a great idea ahead of everyone else, and everyone else picked up the ball and ran with it. I don't really mind which outcome it is. I'm just enjoying just having that feeling, like, I feel like I'm onto something. Feels good.
I definitely feel that age is closer than we think, especially
yeah.
when you see big games take off like Hearthstone, like Pokemon Go, and like whatever the next big thing is, either later this year or next year. Now, this is basically the last Hearthstone podcast that's being featured before BlizzCon 2016 is going to be out. And so I figured I'd give you the opportunity, Ray, to be the predictor, the soothsayer the foreteller. As far as Hearthstone content goes, I mean, a lot of us are pretty much expecting it's almost a given that we will find out about new content, and it will probably be a large size expansion and not an adventure. But I'm just curious from you, what do you think we'll see at BlizzCon, or just what are you hoping to see based on the current state of the game? What kind of content or changes to how Hearthstone is played are you hoping to get out of BlizzCon in just several weeks' time?
Well, I mean, if you ask any player what they want as far as changes, they'll probably have a laundry list of things and improvements.
Sure.
But first off the bat, I expect there'll be an expansion. I kind of wish it was an adventure. When they announced the new rotation for Standard and things like that, so that old sets are no longer played so that new players can catch up, they said that it would be expansion, adventure, expansion each year. And I kind of think that should be expansion, expansion, adventure, but that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
I like the adventures. They're good fun. So there'll definitely be a major content release. They've also sort of mentioned recently that they're looking at some relatively broad changes to how Arena works. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're going to announce that then too, if it's pretty big of a change. But they could also just mention it in the lead up as well. Definitely a big content release. There'll be a set, so that's going to be great. What it's themed around is something that Hearthstone players like to speculate. I used to play World of Warcraft back in 2006, 2008, and have dabbled with it again recently. But I can't say I know a lot about what's gone on in the intervening years. But I have heard people talking about Alderman, I think it is. Alduar, right?
Yeah.
So they're about as fond of that as they are of Karazhan, and I was very fond of Karazhan when I played. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was Alduar related. But I mean, it could be anything. Like, one of the things we've known from Hearthstone is that they will take an idea from World of Warcraft and they'll change it. So the most recent adventure for Hearthstone, the One Night in Karazhan, when we played Karazhan in World of Warcraft, it was this old haunted tower with zombie things and ghosts or whatever.
Haunted silverware.
Right. This time it's beforehand, and they're having a disco party. And that's quite a departure from Karazhan of World of Warcraft. So it's kind of neat that Hearthstone will take its own spin on this. So even if it is Alduar, who knows what angle they will take. And I think the next card back, because they have a new card back every month, is Legion-themed to commemorate the release of the new WoW expansion. So for all we know, it could also be Legion-related. Like, maybe they're going to double down on that idea of the content. Could be anything, though.
I personally am hoping for something centered around the Caverns of Time. I've been hoping for that as far as like a World of Warcraft expansion goes as well. But I think the Warcraft card game even had a Caverns of Time or Time Walkers expansion. Just something with that kind of theme opens up so many doors for them in terms of things that they can do with characters and abilities and spells and such. They can look at they could perhaps give us a legendary younger Jaina, or they can give us younger versions of current legendaries, or maybe older versions of current legendaries, kind of like how they did a twist with corrupted versions in the old gods and such.
Mm.
Introducing a little fun time traveling magic and mayhem might do a bit of good for the game. And I think one thing that I expect we're going to see, and tell me if you feel you might agree with this or not, we saw with Return to Karazhan, that's a WoW thing, but we saw with One Night in Karazhan, a couple of the encounters dealt with pieces on the board that were not minions, but were still game board elements. So the Netherspite encounter with the portals, those pieces were actually on the board, but they had no health, no power, or toughness. I think that it's possible that we may see a new card type that something along the lines of an enchantment type thing, the way Magic the Gathering has enchantments, but something in which you can put something on the board and it doesn't necessarily have power or toughness, so you can't necessarily deal with it in the conventional sense that you would get something off the board and it provides some sort of bonus or benefit to you.
So that is an interesting idea, and I've definitely heard other people floating ideas like that, saying, oh, it'd be cool if like this other game or like that other game, you could have this kind of thing on the battlefield to interact with or not interact with it, as you say. But I feel like they might, I don't want to say they'll stray away from gimmicks, but that kind of big gimmick or change is the kind of thing they will dabble with, and I think they dabble with it, as you say, in the encounters and in Tavern Brawl. I think they might shy away from introducing it into the game proper too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do this in Magic as well. The designers will talk about this. They have this great big bag of ideas. All these fantastic ideas, and we could throw them all at you at once. but that would just overwhelm players. And a game design term they talk about is an exit point. And if you overwhelm a player, then the player might be like, ah, you know what? No, I'm just gonna play some Angry Birds today. You don't want to overwhelm players, to give them a chance to put down the game and not come back to it. So two bigger changes are the kind of thing they might shy away from. Sometimes they're going to say, look, we've found the perfect opportunity. This, like, Netherspite Portals is the thing now for mainstream Hearthstone. We're going to bring it out. But I think more often than not, they will shy away from that, which is less exciting, I know, but I think that's fine. It wouldn't surprise me, though. Like, if they released a new expansion, and as I said before, with the standard rotation of expansion, adventure, expansion, that means the last expansion in a month, in a year, is going to see less play in the standard environment than the first one. Mm-hmm. That is the set where you introduce something wacky.
Right.
So that if you were like, let's try something a little out there, and it's not going to matter if it rotates out of standard in 15 months. Who knows?
Let's give mages, priests, and druids the magical wands and staves they deserve already. Heck, Medivh already has one.
That's pretty... Exactly, right. I mean, that's interesting because people have talked about that for a while. It's like, well, come on, mages have wands at least. They've got to have something. But then I can see their argument would be that puts them too close to the actual weapon classes in Hearthstone. But the Medivh's staff that you get in One Night in Karazhan, it works... It's pretty pitiful as a weapon to attack with.
Exactly.
But it works based on your spells. That's kind of neat. And maybe that is more of an area they'll explore on. Who knows? I mean, it is cool. It's not like they haven't come up with new ideas. A lot of players embrace or celebrate Discover as one of the coolest mechanics they've created in a long time.
For sure.
So they are coming up with great ideas that are a positive addition to the game all the time. So who knows? Let's hope so.
Only time will tell. And I'm sure you will be talking about BlizzCon and the hype train leading up to it and beyond in the weeks ahead. I mean, say there's several weeks to BlizzCon, but that's a good 18 to 20 episodes until BlizzCon for you. So it gives plenty of time for my listeners to check Walk to Work out. So why don't you let them know where, when, and how they can find your podcast?
So the easiest way to find out when I release an episode is to follow the podcast on Twitter, which is Walk to Work HS. You can also follow it on Facebook at the same address. You can follow me on Twitter as well, which also have links. I'm just at Blister Guy. The story as to how I came up with the name Blister Guy is a very long and old one, and we'll do that another time. The actual address for the podcast is not Walk to Work, because when I signed up, I wasn't aware how difficult it would be to change it. So the actual website address where the podcast is hosted is hearthstonecommute.libsyn.com. And Ro will totally have that linked in the show notes and things. Ro actually links to these in his weekly podcast roundup on the website as well, which is great. So if you are looking for an easy way to find it and you know how to find the Realm maintenance page, you're there. You're already halfway there. But as I say, I'll post when the episodes go live on Twitter, and I'll post the deck list that I play each week and things like that as well. So it's easy to find it that way.
Sounds good. Ray, thanks once again for being on the show this week. Good luck in your continued grind this month to reach Legend rank, and let's hope for something good at BlizzCon.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great. BlizzCon's always good.
Big thanks again to Ray for being on the show this week. Let's move on to podcast news. Elflix from the Evangelism Podcast pays a visit to Fimless, Hydra, and Zabina on episode 266 of the Twisted Nether blogcast. Now, this is the first interview with the three-co-host format, not to mention the first post-Legion launch episode. As always, you can find the show on your app of choice or at twistednether.net. You can also check out Evlix's recent episode of Evangelism, where he talks about questing as a healer and Blizzard staff changes. Evangelism is spelled with a Y in this case, and the show can be found at evangelism.com. With a few weeks of Legion now in the books, there's plenty to talk about under the big top of Azeroth on episode 128 of the Dark Moon Herald. Kevin and Reb welcome well-known community artist Freenoni from Badge Babes for a discussion on the latest expansion. What's in the Center Ring this time around? Will there be bloodlust? Or heroism? And who's going to get dunked into the freezing waters of Northrend in Dunk Tank Trivia? Learn those answers at darkmoonherald.com. We have a couple of podcasts that have hit 50 episodes, including The World of Z's, a WoW podcast focused on the adventures and antics of the Z's Guild from the Aragos server. Celebrate the first few weeks of Legion and this milestone episode at worldofzs.com. Z's is spelled Z-E-E-Z. Another podcast to hit 50 is one of my favorite Heroes of the Storm shows, and that is none other than Core! What does Core have that other hero shows don't? Well, how about Nexeperity? What is Nexeperity, you ask? Well, how shall I put it? Nexeperity is an experience. That's what it is. According to co-host John Jagger, this week has the first totally fair and unbiased game of Nexeperty in the show's history, and you can be the judge of that by downloading the show at heroesforyou.com or on your app of choice. You can also get a double dose of John talking heroes this week if you check out the latest episode of Lords of the Storm on episode 82. Alaric is in the spotlight along with discussion on the Bloodlust community tournament and much more. You can find that show at lordsofthestorm.libsyn.com. And rounding out our Heroes podcast news for this week, I want to encourage you Nexus podcastees to head over to the Heroes Forge, as there's been some amazing stuff happening there lately. This week's episode is focused on the Reaper of Souls himself, as Malthael is brought to life as a hero concept, but what's even better than that, in my opinion, is the episode right before that one, where the most unlikely of heroes is suggested by listener Annalise. Are you ready for Pepe? The bird is the word on episode 38. You can check it out on SoundCloud, iTunes, you know the drill. You can also find them live on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time over at twitch.tv/amovetv. Looking back at WoW, if you're looking for a new episode of The Instance, you might need to wait a few days. However, you can hear Patrick Beja talk with Mike Gaines about Legion on the latest episode of World of Warcast. Heck, it feels like 2007 all over again on this episode. You can listen to the show at worldofwarcast.com, and of course you can follow the show on Twitter at World of Warcast. Elbereth from GCD TV talks with Jerisar about all things PvP and Legion on the latest episode of Technically PvP, which you can find on your app of choice or at technicallypvp.libsyn.com. It's a pretty exciting time for player versus player action in the World of Warcraft, and you'll get the lowdown on what's happening at BlizzCon as well as the changes coming for PvP in the weeks ahead. You can follow the show on Twitter at technically_PvP, but take the N out so it's at technically_PvP. Speaking of esports, one topic that never gets old is the state of esports for Hearthstone, and the Innervated podcast covers that particularly well on episode 57. What's keeping other tournaments from being attractive? How could alternate format shake things up? It's all a pretty interesting discussion, and you can listen to it on iTunes, SoundCloud, or by going to gosugamers.net/hearthstone. I have a quick live stream time change note for you folks. If you're a fan of the Lightforge podcast, they're now recording on Sundays at 6 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. You can find that live stream at twitch.tv/grinninggoat. And you know, while the Hearthstone Summer Championships have been taking place this past couple of weeks, outside of that, there hasn't been a heck of a lot else to talk about in news since, well, the arena changes. Things are so quiet, in fact, that if you check out the Legend of the Innkeeper feed, you're going to find episode 3 of something called The Loot Box, which is a bonus Overwatch podcast for your listening pleasure. You can find all of that at legendoftheinnkeeper.com. And finally, the biggest mystery in Overwatch isn't Sombra, but rather, just how the heck does the skill rating system work? Jarrett and Mikey talk about a popular new theory and whether or not their own experiences match that theory on the latest episode of Watchpoint Radio. You can listen to the show on SoundCloud, iTunes, and the show's site, which is found at mashthosebuttons.com. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and, for the last time, shamelessly plug the show's t-shirt and coffee mug sale. This is your last week to order a t-shirt, sweatshirt, or coffee mug over at teespring.com/realmpodcast2016. I'm not Azeroth Roundtable. I don't have a big, long, drawn-out lead-up to this. I'm just putting it out there right now. Go to teespring.com/realmpodcast2016. Profits from the sale specifically go towards items that I plan to give away both at BlizzCon and to listeners of the BlizzCon episode of the show. I'll be honest, I haven't sold that many of these so far, but anyone who does place an order will get it regardless of how many are sold. There's no, like, quota to meet or else none of them get shipped out. That's not an issue. If I only sell 2 shirts and 2 coffee mugs, that's fine. If I sell 200 of each, that's fine too. Regardless, it's all going toward BlizzCon giveaways. So it's out there for you to buy, and I will just put it all back into BlizzCon. If you choose to support the show directly, you can also do so by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. The Realm Maintenance Podcast can be found on most podcasting apps, including TuneIn Radio, which has recently added the show. I also encourage you to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're just a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, we will find out the answer to what's going to happen to the Battle-Tagged podcast now that Blizzard is no longer planning to use the Battle.net name. I'll be asking the crew from the show as our series of Oceanic podcast spotlights continue. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast is a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find the show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Ray Walkinshaw for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening. It's the end of the show, and that means it's time once again for the roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's produced a show between September 18th and 24th of 2016. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Battle Chat, Blizzard Watch, Blue Recluse, Convert to Raid Presents, Battle.net News, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Lagging Battlestorm, Chasers of Azeroth, The Sundering, Twisted Nether Blogcast, and Victor Sanctum. World of Warcraft podcasts include 30-Minute Cooldown, Adventures in Azeroth, Azeroth Roundtable, Balrez Bears, Behind the Avatar, Bite on the Quip, Cast Portal, Control Out Wild, Dark Moon Herald, Daughters of Azeroth, Evangelism, Game Case Show, Girls Gone Wild, Goblin Gold Cast, Lion's Pride Tavern, the Lorecraft podcast, Lore Watch, The Meaning Stone, Middle Finger podcast, Pwncast, Raiding with Leisha, Rated Battleground, Reigns of Azeroth, Stopcast, Tankcast, Technically PvP, The Training Dummies, of Worgen's Howl, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, WoW Head Weekly, and World of Z's. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600 Dusty, Angry Chicken, Coin Concede, Golden Wisp, Parth of the Cards, Hearth Coach, Hearthcore, Hero Power Cast, The Innervated, Lightforge, Meta Meltdown, Top Deck Kings, Value Town, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Shattered Soulstone is your Diablo podcast this week. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Heroes Forge, Heroes Radio, Heroes of the Storm Power Hour, Into the Nexus, and Lords of the Storm. And finally, for Overwatch podcasts, we have The Cavalry, The Guardians, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Omnic Fallout, Omnic Lab, The OP, Overcast, The Overcast, Overwatchers, Payload Podcast, and Watchpoint. For links to all these shows and archives of this podcast, go to realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?